Our our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 391.
Portion out of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and are of Psalm 25. But first, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, eternal, and all-knowing God of the heavens and of the earth, we in this afternoon hour are permitted once again to enter into thy sanctuary, to be for a little moment round about thy everlasting word. That word, when all things pass away in this world, that word that shall endure forever. And then not only as we may have it in an objective way, but also as thou dost speak it in the life of thy people. For when thou dost speak unto them, then it is not that thou wilt be a liar unto them. For what thou sayest, thou wilt surely do. Wilt thou give thy church to look upon that word of thee, and that they may be given to look up unto thee in all the trials, in all the way wherein that thou dost lead them, where there can be so many riddles and so many questions. but that they may receive light from above upon that pathway wherein that thou dost lead them through this world, and that thou may remember each and every one of these young people also in a special way. For thou knowest also all that lives in their hearts even in this hour, when it is an hour that they have looked unto now for a long time, and thou dost bring it to pass when they may stand before thee to give an answer in a solemn way to the questions that shall be placed before them, that thou may remember them therein. Give unto them sincerity of heart. Give them truth and uprightness within. And give the ability in a trembling way to answer those questions and to make this vow, and that thou may be with them in the future when they will be called upon to keep that vow, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand. Lord, wilt thou remember them also as a member of the church, for thou knowest all our hearts and whether that we see it as sufficient in an outward way. But wilt thou make them to desire that they may be a living member, that they may receive that entrance into that invisible church, that church militant that is here below, that sin may become to them a great evil, and that it may be a burden as they go over this world, that they could not do without thee and thy only begotten Son. Wilt thou remember us as parents, for thou knowest also the gladness of our hearts, when thy servant did say that there was nothing that made him so glad as to see his children walk in the truth. And then it may be also in the hearts of us as parents in this day, that thou givest it in the heart of our children to take over unto themselves that which we have promised when we have brought them to their baptism. O Lord, then there is nothing that is in us. There are so many shortcomings and so many sins. But thou wilt thou crown thy own word with thy blessing, and wilt thou give that our children, they may be given to love thee, to seek thee, and to find thee. Do remember the grandparents also great grandparents, whether they are here or elsewhere. Also, even in the hospital in this day, wilt thou remember in thy mercy, and wilt thou gladden the hearts with thy deeds, to give to all of us together. When we may see something in an outward way of the building of thy church, humble hearts before thee. And wilt thou give that we may see that great need, that we together may enter into thy kingdom. Wilt thou supply for us then in this hour, that it may be a good hour together in thy favor. Lord, help us also in the preaching of thy holy word. Give us a little strength in this hour for this work. And may it be a little opening in thy word, that there may be yet food in thy house for those who are hungry, and for those who are thirsty, and for those who go bow down over this world. May there be the power of thy spirit to accompany thy word, that it may be for a new birth. Wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many, many sins, For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 236, the four stanzas. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified. There is none great beside, matchless. Thy works abide, for thou art God. The four stanzas of Psalter 236, and the last collection today is for the disaster fund. congregation, the words of our text for this hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Psalm 25, and thereof the 12th verse. Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So far, the words of our text. Instruction for him that feareth the Lord. First, the fear of the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? And second, the instruction of the Lord. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Thus, instruction for him that feareth the Lord, first the fear of the Lord, and second the instruction of the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? What does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, that word that has the meaning of reverence. It means to stand in awe. Thus David, he said, let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the world stand in awe of him. Do you fear the Lord? When the Lord appears in his majesty, then there is much fear. When he appears in his glory, we can read about Jacob, that he dreamed a dream, and he felt the presence of the Lord. And when he awoke, then he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. At Sinai, we can read that Israel, they were in great fear. They trembled, they fled from the Lord. We read at the end of the world that there will also be great fear. Men calling to the mountains to fall on them, and for the hills to cover them. We can read when Christ would be born into this world that an angel appeared to Zacharias and then he trembled. The angels, they came to the shepherds, boys and girls. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. How would that be for us? What do we read of those shepherds? They were sore afraid. Thus, when the majesty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord that appears, then men, they tremble before the Lord. But when that majesty and when that glory of the Lord is hidden, well, then men do not fear. And why do they then not fear? Because of unbelief. We can read that the apostle says that because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. We live in days that it is very difficult to find the fear of the Lord among men in our nation. And even among the magistrates, those that must rule and reign over us, that is not new. Solomon says there is nothing new under the sun. We can read the Apostle Paul. He speaks about man in the state of his nature. And he says there is no man righteous, no, not one. And he says that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Read of Noah. In his days, we read that men, they ate and they drank, they married and that they were given in marriage. until the day that Noah entered into the ark. That is, right up until the last day of their life. And that was under the preaching of the word for 120 years that men did not fear the Lord, that they did not fear the word of the Lord, the threat of the Lord, and that even the building of the ark of the Lord, there was nothing but a mockery that was living in the heart of this people. But suddenly we read the rains descended. Suddenly the floods came. Suddenly the fountains of the deep were broken up. Suddenly the windows of heaven were opened. And then there was fear. Great fear. And yet it is not the fear that we can read here of our text. It is not what we read here, the fear of the Lord. It was but the fear for suffering. It was the fear for pain. It was the fear of death. It was the fear of punishment. It was the fear of condemnation, and such fear that is living in the hearts of every man by nature. As bold as he pretends himself to be, as fearless that he thinks that he is, and that he makes it appear to be to other men in this world, confident, careless, Ahaz, he was a wicked king, and he was bold against the Lord. But what do we read? And when he heard that Syria was confederate with Ephraim, then we read that his heart that was moved even as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Thus, in our day, then we say that a man, he shakes children just like a leaf. That was that wicked man, who was so bold, or seemed to be so bold otherwise, and without fear. Pharaoh seemed also to be without fear. Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. But let the Lord bring a plague once. And then he fears, and then he is asking Moses to return and to pray to the Lord, and to take this away. The Lord brings another plague, and then the fear returns. And he takes away the plague, and the fear that is going away again. Was he different than us? When we lay in the hospital, and we fear, and we go home again, and we do not fear, and we come there again, and we fear, and we go home again, and we do not fear again. That is now the way it is with man. Why? Because of his unbelief. Boys and girls, there are some that are boasters. There are some that are mockers. But you know, those that are the greatest mockers, they are very often the ones who are trembling the greatest when they are brought into distress. And you know what the Lord says concerning those persons. He says that he is going to mock when their fear comes. What man is he that feareth the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? That is reverence. That is awe. Do you fear the Lord? How does that show in your life? How is that manifest in your life? Is that known by other persons in your life that you fear the Lord? We read about Joseph. that he feared the Lord. And what did he do? He said, how shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That is the fear of the Lord, young people. He was all alone. No one could see him. His father was not there. Are you in those places too, where your father is not and your mother is not? Then do you have the fear of the Lord in your heart? Or are you as one who has no fear of God before your eyes? Solomon says, be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So what is then the evidence of the fear of the Lord? That is to depart from evil. That is to fear to sin. Do you fear to sin? Do we fear to lie? Do we fear to slander? Do we fear to disobey our father? To disobey our mother? Do we fear to commit adultery? Do we fear to covet? As Solomon says, that they may fear thee to walk in thy ways, thus to depart from the ways of sin and to walk in the ways of the Lord. That is the evidence, that is the testimony of the fear of the Lord. There is more. Obadiah, he said, I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Is that true of you also? That you can say, I fear the Lord from my youth. Children, young people, that is such a blessing that a man in his old age will never regret that he has feared the Lord from his youth. Because that fear of the Lord that will keep him from many sins, that fear of the Lord will draw him to seek him in the days of your youth. What was the evidence of that fear of the Lord in the life of Obadiah? What do we read? Well, he hid the prophets of the Lord. He hid them in caves. And he fed them with bread and water. That was at the danger for his own life. Because had the king known it, then he had cut him off. But Obadiah did it anyway. Why? Because of the fear of the Lord. Was he commanded to do it? Not directly, not specifically, but it was an act of love. It was love for the Lord that lived, that dwelt in his heart. And that love for the Lord was love also for the servants of the Lord. And therefore he has in their danger placed himself in danger. Then he was not afraid, but he has given himself unto the service of the Lord for the sake of his own church, for the sake of the prophets of the Lord. Thus, the fear of the Lord, that is to forsake evil, the fear of the Lord, that is to love the Lord, that is that our heart would be drawn to him and to his service. Moses, he says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. So to cleave to the Lord, that belongs to the fear of the Lord. What do we read? Children that clave. What do we read that clave? You say that was Ruth. We read she clave unto her mother-in-law. In all the affliction of her own, and all the affliction of her mother-in-law, yet she clave to her mother-in-law. Why? For the love that lived in her heart to the Lord. For the desire that lived in her heart that she also may become one of the people of the Lord. Then there was a jealousy in her heart of those people. And she desired to place herself with those people that she may also receive the blessings of that people, even though it meant for her that she also must suffer the tribulations and the afflictions that that people had to endure. The fear of the Lord. There is more. What do we read of Eliezer? He was a servant of Abraham. That was a man also that feared the Lord. And wherein do we see the fear of the Lord in his life? When he receives a direction from his master, and then he has to go, and when he goes, well, then he must ask the Lord for direction when he goes. Thus we feel something of that fear of the Lord that leads us into directly our second thought also when it speaks about the instruction of the Lord. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. He shall teach. But to receive instruction, then it is that a person, he must desire, he must feel his need for that instruction. What do we read of Eliezer? He bowed his knees. He was given a task by his master, but he did not know the way that he had to go. And when he did not know, then the fear of the Lord in his heart that made him to seek that direction that could come from the Lord alone. Our text that speaks about choices. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. It is necessary for every one of us in this world that we will make choices in this world. But there is a great difference between men in how that we will make such choices in this world. We read of Ahab that he was ready to go to Ramoth Gilead to battle. That was at the voice of all of the false prophets. But it was because that was the desire that lived within his own heart. Thus they spoke that which they knew that Ahab would wish to hear. And then it is easy to go and to follow the direction of those prophets. But what do we read about God's servant Jehoshaphat who feared the Lord? Then before he went, then he asked, is there not a prophet of the Lord besides, that we may inquire of him? Thus, he could not go without the direction from the Lord. The fear of the Lord that is not always burning like it ought to be burning in the life of his children. That is a shame. But when it is, then they are not able to take a step without him. David says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. What man is he that feareth the Lord, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord does not forsake those that fear him in their need, in the wilderness. And then he led them. He went before them with a pillar of cloud by day, with a pillar of fire by night. Why? That he may lead them in the way, that he may teach them the way that they had to go. The church feels their need for this instruction because the church feels her ignorance. Therefore, we read so often, O Lord, teach me thy way. O Lord, lead me in thy way. Manoah, he says, how shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And so he asks the Lord, and when he asked the Lord gave to him instruction. Do we ask the Lord for instruction in our way? It is not easy to know how that the Lord directs a man in this world in the way which he shall choose. How does the Lord give to a man direction? We say, well, that direction that comes always through his word. It can come by way of the providences of the Lord. But we must be careful that we do not use that word of God in a wrong way, because we receive from that word of God moral instruction, that is, instruction in things that are right or wrong. And it is this moral instruction that we are called to use to make application to the circumstances that the Lord is bringing to us in our life. Thus, then we receive not always such a direct answer, that a man, he must often ask the Lord that he may lead him in the right way when he has to make his choices in this world. We can read of Nehemiah. Then he had to appear before Artaxerxes the king. And Artaxerxes, he says, for what dost thou make request? And what do we read of Nehemiah? He says, so I prayed unto the Lord. That was not that he bent his knees, children, because he was standing before the king and the king asked him a question. But that directing of the Lord of all the circumstances, Nehemiah knew that he could not do without this. And thus, as he approached unto the king, and then the prayer that went up out of his heart unto God, that the Lord would give to him favor in the sight of this monarch. You have to make choices too many times, young people. Important choices, do you not? And when we are young, and then we think that we know how to choose. But later on, then we will find out and we will experience that we do not know how to choose. Agur, he said, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. He says, Lord, thou knowest better than I know. And when it is right, then God's children, they are most afraid of themselves when they have to make their decisions. And therefore, Jabez, he says, that thou wouldest keep me from the evil, that it may not grieve me. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. In the way that who shall choose? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose, in the way that who shall choose. Thus we have considered this he, that he shall choose, as being that man who feareth the Lord. He has to make choices. He has to make choices concerning his way in the way that he shall choose. But there is also another possibility. Because in our King James Version, the pronouns that refer to the Lord, they are not placed in capital letters. You may wonder why, children. Why, when it refers to the Lord, when it says he or him, then it is not capital. That is because it is not capital in the original language. So, that means that when the translators would translate that word and they would capitalize that word, then they would say that that was definitely referring to the divine being. There are very many times wherein it is clear that it is referring to God. But in a case such like this one, it is ambiguous. In other words, it could refer to the Lord, or it could refer to man. We hope, congregation, that you will always remain with the King James Version of the Bible, not because it is perfect, but because it is the closest that we may have to the original scriptures, where the translators simply translated and they did not try to interpret what the Bible meant, but they only tried to give us the Bible in the form as close to the original language as they were able. That interpretation that does not belong to a translator. The interpretation belongs to whom? It belongs to God's servants, yes. But it belongs also to you. It belongs to the hearer. It belongs to the reader. That we may be convinced by the Spirit of the Lord of the meaning of His holy word. Thus this word he, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose, that indeed could mean that the man that feareth the Lord. But it is also possible that this refers to the Lord himself, because this also is perfectly consistent with the rest of the Holy Scriptures. In a practical way, of course, there is not so much difference because both of these things are true. The Lord himself, as man is choosing, the Lord himself is guiding, he is leading his people in all of their choices. What does Solomon say? He says, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Do we believe that? That though a man makes a choice, that the Lord he is directing, because the Lord, he is not upholding all men only in their being. He is not only cooperating with them in their choices, but he is also directing. He is governing that everything would be directed to a certain, a determinate end. He is Lord. He is governor over the whole earth. Thus, what man is he that feareth the Lord him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord, he shall teach those who fear him. And he will choose for them their way. He will choose their manner of instruction for each of them individually sometimes. Then he is governing that a man would make his choice in such a way as the Lord would desire him to go. And yet at other times, when they will not make such a choice, then the Lord, he will make that choice for them. Jacob, he said, all these things are against me. He would not have chosen that way. But the Lord, he says, Jacob, I choose your way. That way is not against you. That way that is for you. It is the good way. It is the right way. It is the way that will end in my honor, in my glory, in the salvation of your soul and of your children. It is the way that will end in the upbuilding of the church, in me fulfilling all my counsel concerning my church, that I may gather my own people and that I may destroy the wicked. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Can you not agree with the way that the Lord leads you? Your lot, is that not the right way? Is your burden too heavy? Is your thorn too sharp? He that feareth the Lord, he is not always in agreement with the way of the Lord. He also has his flesh. Paul says, I besought the Lord thrice that he might take this away from me. This thorn in my flesh, I asked the Lord often. I asked the Lord many times, this messenger of Satan, to buffet me. But the Lord, he says, it is a way, Paul, that I choose. And he says, my grace, that is sufficient for thee. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The Lord does not choose a bad way for his people. When he chooses to lead them through the wilderness, where there is no way, we read. That is, where there is none of their own way, where they cannot find the way, then the Lord does not choose a bad way for them. No, he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. And I will make darkness light before them, and I will make crooked things straight in the way that he shall choose. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Thus, I am the way. That is now the way that the Father has chosen. And when the Father has chosen him as the way, then it is also the way in which he will teach his children, those that fear him. Thus we may ask ourselves, did the Lord ever teach us this way? Did the Lord ever lead us in this way? What does it mean that our own ways, if we will be led in this way, then first our own ways, they have to be cut off. Then our own ways have to come to an end. Did the Lord ever cut off your way? That there was no way for you anymore? That you could not see your way? Was that way closed up, bound up? So that your cry went out to Him that He would show you the way that is not agreeable to our flesh? When the way is a way of stripping for ourselves, when the way is a way that goes through death, when, as Peter says, according to his flesh, not so, Lord, but the Lord says, get thee behind me, Satan, that is, follow me, come behind. And then Peter, he has to go also in that same way with the entire church in that way of humiliation. Oh, the Lord, He does not give up on that way. No, the Lord goes through with His way. Even though His people complain of that way, even though it seems in themselves to be a way that is always upside down, that is always going backwards, but the Lord, He is working through in the life of His children. Congregation, it is a privilege to be taught by the Lord. Do you believe that, young people? Do you believe that, children? What is a teacher? Who is a teacher like unto Him? Who is infinite wisdom and infinite power? Who can give not only an understanding, but our teachers, they know also when you will give those young people, those children, to touch and to feel and to handle and to experience, well, then they say, then they will truly learn it. Who then is able to teach like He is, who has the entire world, the entire universe at his disposal, who does not leave the world after He has created it to itself, but provides for it and directs it and everything for the good, for the instruction, for the teaching of His own children. He does not teach the whole world. No, not in a saving way as this. But we read, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that He shall choose. Do you want the instruction of the Lord? Then the Lord says, where is my fear? Where is the reverence? Where is the awe that lives in your heart of my word? Because I give a privilege to those who fear my name. That is the privilege of the children. It is a privilege that I will teach them as a father difficult lessons. What does Paul say? If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he that the father chasteneth not? It was a deep way for the disciples. When Christ lay in the grave, they had to follow. Not because they wanted to follow, but they had to follow. It was not difficult for the world. It was not a lesson for the world. No, it was a lesson for His church. Congregation, are we also taught by the Lord? You say, how may I know it? It is not alone by hardships. It is not alone by afflictions. It is not alone by tribulations, because they belong to the entire human race. They are the consequences of our sin. But are they now coupled with the fear of the Lord? Those afflictions, those that fear the Lord, they are counting so often those afflictions to be against them. Wherefore, Jeremiah says, does the way of the wicked prosper? Asaph says, I was envious at the foolish, and when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now we call the proud happy, Jeremiah says. And they that work wickedness, they are set up. And they that tempt God, they are delivered. And God's children, they receive afflictions. But it is no mark against them. It is just the opposite. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Oh, then our heart that needs to be filled with reverence, our heart that needs to be filled with awe, also concerning the way that the Lord leads us through this world, that we may have an awe for His instruction, to say it is the way of the Lord. There is nothing in all our life that happens by chance. Every part of our life that is directed by the Lord, is there now instruction in it for you? Have you now received that instruction in your life? Oh, if we may only permit the Lord to work in our life and our heart to be filled with instruction. Do you know what Paul says? He says, then there will be a people who in the end of their life, they will say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, that will be looking back. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Then that way which He has chosen, which may have been so against all our own choices, that will be a way in which will magnify His name and which will be to the salvation of His church. Amen. Let us sing from Psalter 81, stanzas 1 and 3. How great the goodness kept in store for those who fear Thee and adore in meek humility. How great the deeds with mercy fraught, which openly Thy hand hath wrought for those who trust in Thee. For those who trust in Thee. 1 and 3 of Psalter 81.
Thank you.
I now ask those who wish to make confession of faith to arise and to answer the following questions. First, do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned, heard, and confessed to be the true and complete doctrine of salvation, conforming with the sacred scriptures? Second, do you promise, by the grace of God, to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine and to live and die in accordance therewith? Third, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond reproach, and to adorn your confession with good works? Fourth, do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid that you may become delinquent either in doctrine or in life? What is your answer, Meredith Adriana Alleman, Lorraine Michelle Den Hollander, Rosemary Lynn Den Hollander, Adrian Johannes Janssen, Maria Dinkhana Luntje Janssen, Shailen Evelina Kreft, Darcy Marinus Nordegraaf, Conrad Johan van Driesten, Felicia Pauline van Driesten, Frederick Hendrik van Herk, Laura Marie Ann van Herk. Friends, we read in God's Word about a man of Ethiopia. He was a man, we read, of great authority under Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, that he was come to Jerusalem for to worship. That is a great wonder. Why? Well, when you were young, and then your father, your mother, they took you by the hand, they brought you to church. Not this man. Not this man. But he was come to Jerusalem for to worship. That man, we read, was a man of great authority. He had great power in this world. There are not so many with such great power that are ready to come to Jerusalem for to worship. It is likely that that man was also very rich. He had the charge of all the treasures of Candace, the queen. And we read the Lord Jesus says, "How hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of heaven?" Thus, that is a great wonder. You know what is more of a wonder? That was not a form for that man. It was not just a custom. Because he came to Jerusalem, and when he left Jerusalem, he was still reading in his Bible. How often have you gone from the church to your room and opened your Bible in order, not out of form and custom, in order to find something there that you are missing? That man was in the church, but he was still missing something, and he felt that. He had not received what his heart needed just because he had gone to Jerusalem or to worship. And when Philip is directed by the Lord to come by the chariot, then that man says, "Come. Come up with me. Teach me." He says, "I'm ignorant." He says, "There is something I'm missing." And what was it that he was missing? He says, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" What was he missing? He was missing the Lord Jesus Christ. He was missing a mediator for his own soul. He did not know him. And now we ask you, how is it with you in this day wherein you have established your membership here in the church by means of your own personal vow? We ask you, is it enough? Is it enough? Or is there something that you feel you still miss? You have had many instructors, starting from when you were very young, your father, your mother. Many of you have come to our own school or another Christian school, and you have had catechism instruction, you have had confession class, much instruction. Do you say in your own heart now, there is still something that I miss, there is something that I lack? What man is he that feareth the Lord? If we fear the Lord, then it will not be enough. If we fear the Lord, then it is not the outward form. Then it is the substance. And then there will be a cry. There will be a need in your heart. Oh Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me. And now what does the Lord say? What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. In the way that you have chosen. When you have such a desire, the Lord gives a promise. And he says, then I shall teach you. And you may go back to the Lord with that promise. Lord, it is thy own word. But you must also be ready. When the Lord will instruct you, that it goes away, that is not according to the way you want. Because we can ask it easy. But when the Lord condescends to instruct us, then to begin to kick against the pricks. May the Lord bless this, what he has given you to do this day. May he bless his word. May you never forget that oath, that promise that you have made. May it be that your soul may be fed and instructed in the house of the Lord, and that you may receive an eternal benefit. Congregation, receive these young people into our midst. They come as members in full standing within the church. We have a responsibility towards one another. We speak about that in confession class. Then when we make this promise, then we are setting ourselves before the whole congregation. I have asked them, what place does the congregation now have in your life? They have a place, because when they will walk astray, then they have promised to submit to discipline. And where does that discipline begin? It begins not with a consistory, but it begins with us. We must watch over one another. We ought not to be offended with one another. And when we are walking together upon a pathway to a great eternity, that we are warning one another concerning what is necessary in our life and what our walk is in this life. Oh, let us truly be fellow pilgrims and strangers in this world for one another, for the benefit of one another on our journey to meet the Lord. We ask the congregation to stand now and to sing Psalter 415 in the fourth stanza. Good and upright is Jehovah in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. A stanza 4 of 415 standing. Let us now try to close with a word of prayer. O Lord, thou art the witness. Be not a silent witness, but wilt thou speak, wilt thou do, wilt thou act, wilt thou come in the life of each and every one of these. And of each and every one of us, we cannot miss thee. We cannot do without thee. Thou art the way, the truth, and the life, that they could not miss a mediator between God and their soul, traveling to meet thee. Teach it unto each and every one of us. Bring us now safely home. Give us thoughts, meditations of thee and of thy holy word. Keep us from danger, accident, evil, and sin in the week that is to come. Bring home safely those who are far away and be with all those that travel. Spare from a sudden and an unprepared death Remember all those that mourn, also in the Netherlands. Thou knowest all the hearts, Lord. Teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. For Jesus' sake, amen. 330, 1, 2, and 4. Thou who didst make and fashion me, O make me wise thy law to learn. Then they that fear thee shall be glad when they my hope in God discern. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 330.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.